Just a note about our service this weekend, our services this weekend, we're resuming the distribution of the Sacrament of Holy Communion. How we're distributing it is following the Lord's Prayer. We will be meeting vehicles on the west end of the parking lot to distribute the sacrament as you are departing. So I will give the sacrament to everybody in their vehicles. I will descend you on your way and give you a final blessing. So after you receive, I'll say, you've been fed and nourished with the Lord's Supper. Go in peace in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then you will go cheerfully on your way back home. And that's how our service will conclude. I'll remind you of this when we get to it as well, just in case you haven't read it or are not fully listening right now. So, so that is how we will be doing the distribution of the sacrament. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Soul
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son, and illumine the world with your image through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading is from 2 Kings, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elisha said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken away from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Will you all please read the bold print? The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God shines forth in glory.
Our God will come and will not keep silence. With a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm.
God calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of the people.
Gather before me, my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with a sacrifice.
The heavens declare the rightness of God's cause, for it is God who is judge.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. According to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The mistake we often make as humans is the desire to recreate those mountaintop experiences that we have in our lives. Now, I've preached about mountaintop experiences before, particularly on the Transfiguration, but I believe it's worth emphasizing because as human beings, we continue to chase after it. It's like chasing for a high that we'll never quite grasp or experience again. I don't know about you, but I've never been able to successfully create an experience to meet the mountaintop experience that I have had envisioned. What I found is that in those moments and experiences that are truly mountaintop experiences, they happen so naturally. And like the disciples at the transfiguration, they could even happen unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, we want to look back, we want to go back, or we want to stay put. When we do that, we're not following Jesus, and we're going in the wrong direction. Like other aspects of our lives and our society, we've reduced spirituality to be validated by our feelings. So congregations in North America have been focused not on pointing to Jesus Christ and inviting them to be transformed through Christ, but ensuring that people feel good. The problem is that following Christ does not always feel good. So what then is shared with folks is not the gospel, and it is not the way of Christ. Now, I'm sure Peter is well-intentioned here, because who would not want to camp out when experiencing such a marvelous event as the Transfiguration? But notice what Mark says in his gospel. He didn't know what to say because they were terrified. And when we are terrified, when we are afraid, we want to hold on to and protect what we know to be good. We want to go back and even try to recreate the good that we recall. But when we reduce our faith to feeling, we fail to listen to what Jesus has to say to us. We hear in chapter 9, verse 7, "Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, 'This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him.'" When we gather for worship as church around word and sacrament, that is our mountaintop experience. It's not about a feel-good experience. It's not always a feel-good experience, but the experience of heaven and earth coming together is a mountaintop experience. We're centered in the Word. We're listening to our Lord, and then we are fed and nourished with his body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And as I said recently, we do not leave that experience that we've received here. We do not leave that encounter with God here. And we don't stay on the mountaintop. Thanks be to God that we are gathered together with our Lord on the mountaintop when we worship around word and sacrament. But we must follow our Lord down from the mountain and follow him to the places and spaces where people need to encounter the word of life and that promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Transfiguration is not the height of revealing Jesus and who Jesus is. It's a miraculous event. The disciples would have seen his humanity and divinity and tried to make some sense of that, yet Christ has more work to do. In Mark chapter 8, just before the Transfiguration, Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection. This mountaintop experience is not the mountaintop experience. It will be his sacrifice on the cross that will open for us the mountaintop experience of heaven and earth coming together. No more division or barriers that separates us from experiencing full communion with the living God. It's through the cross that that is possible. There is not a mountain. There aren't temple curtains. Heaven and earth no longer divided because of the victory that we have through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is leading the disciples from the mountaintop of the Transfiguration to the cross and empty tomb. It is this good news that they will share. And it is this good news that will spread throughout the world. Remember, in holy baptism, we are joined to Christ in his death and resurrection, and we must trust and listen to the one who we are joined to. I cannot say this enough. Our feelings about God will change. Our feelings towards God will change. It changes throughout the course of our lives. But God's feelings towards us will not change. So even when we gather for worship around Word and Sacrament, you may not be feeling it. And perhaps today's one of them. But God's feelings towards you remains the same. Your sins are forgiven. The Word guides you and promises you of our Lord's abiding presence. And then we are fed with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, reminded of the sacrifice of Christ, his body given for us, his blood shed for us. Our Lord comes to us in this holy meal that we share. God continues to feel nothing but love for us and continues to say, "I love you," whenever we gather as church around Word and Sacrament for worship. Worship around the Word, around the holy meal, is a mountaintop experience, but it's not about what we are doing. It's about what God is doing. God is at work, and we must not look backward. Must not try to go back to what the past was like. Don't try to preserve the present out of fear. We must follow Christ. We must continue to press on in the mission and ministry we're called to. Now, the way our church calendar works, we had the baptism of our Lord as our first Sunday after the Feast of Epiphany. And in this final week, just before Lent, we have the Transfiguration. And in both instances, we hear of this voice from heaven revealing to us something about Jesus. In Jesus' baptism, we hear that voice from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you am I am well pleased." And at the Transfiguration, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." So, beloved people of God, as we prepare to start our Lenten journey, we're given this instruction to listen to Jesus. How do you plan to intentionally listen to Jesus during this coming season of Lent? How will you intentionally follow Jesus during the coming season of Lent? Last week we heard about the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, and it was her gifts that she used in her everyday tasks, in her everyday life, that was able to show and share God's love with the people that she encountered. It's not much different from the disciples being called to do what they do when they come down from the mountain after experiencing the Transfiguration. The invitation to listen and to follow Jesus, it's not a request to add another event or project in your life. I don't want you to just clutter your calendar up with Jesus stuff. That's not the kind of discipleship we're called to carry out, just to check boxes, fill up our calendars. Listening and following to Jesus is not confined to a project. It's not confined to an event or a time slot. It is the center and grounding on how we're to live each day. It transforms how we approach things that are on our calendar. It also calls us to think about the stuff we should or should not be putting on our calendar. Listening to Jesus has a perpetual impact on every facet of our lives. We descend from the mountaintop of worship around Word and Sacrament, and we encounter the neighbor who needs the love of God. By our sharing of the love we received on this mountaintop, sharing the love of the Lord with those who are fearful, with those who are suffering. We do this through the God-given gifts we've been bestowed. We do this by listening and trusting Jesus. We do this because our faith is in the one who's not only obedient, but faithful all the way to the cross, so that nothing could separate us from the love that we have in Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the gospel proclaimed in word and deed, for communities of faith far and near, and for all who show the face of Christ throughout the world, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For creation, sun, moon, and stars, life forming in the dark earth and ocean deep, mountains, clouds, and storms, and creatures seen and unseen,
and for the Holy Spirit's guidance in our stewardship of God's creation. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those responsible for safety and protection, for emergency responders and security guards, attorneys and advocates, civil servants and leaders of governments, that they witness to mercy and justice throughout the world, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all who suffer this day, especially those with COVID, for Ron, for Cora, for Kylie, Matt, Tracy, Susie, Tim, Wilma, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Stan, Marlene and her family, for Ken and our family, Blaine, Michelle, Rhonda, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, for Frank and our homebound, that Christ our healer transforms sickness into health, loneliness into companionship, bereavement into consolation, and suffering into peace. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For companions on life's journey in this worshiping community, for loved ones who cannot be with us this day, and for guidance during struggles we face, that God's glory is revealed around and among us, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those in our armed services and their chaplains, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For Adam, our pastor, for Elizabeth, and for Daniel, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who now rest from their earthly pilgrimage, especially missionaries Cyril and Methodius, that their lives of service and prayer inspire us in our living. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us, and believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise and the glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
At this time, in an orderly fashion, as you now exit using the west side of our parking lot, I will meet you there to give you the sacrament, and I will send you forth with dismissal and blessing. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you.
Thou break us, who trust thee sure.